financing is a State Department program that gives money to foreign governments that they can use to purchase American-made military equipment. The $2.2 billion is being pulled from the $40 billion Ukraine aid bill President Biden signed in May, which authorized $4 billion for foreign military financing. According to the Associated Press, about $1 billion of the $2.2 billion will go to Ukraine. The remaining funds will be divided among Albania, Bulgaria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Georgia, Greece, Kosovo, Latvia, Lithuania, Moldova, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia. Over the Ramstein airbase in Germany, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told a group of officials representing over 50 countries, known as the Ukraine Defense Contact Group, that President Biden approved a new $675 million weapons package for Ukraine. Lloyd Austin claimed that the U.S. and its allies are seeing the demonstrable success of their support for Ukraine on the battlefield. But Ukraine is taking heavy losses in its southern counteroffensive and doesn't appear to be regaining territory. Moreover, a recent Wall Street Journal report revealed that the Pentagon has launched a wide-ranging push to expedite the sales of U.S. arms, including drones, guns, helicopters, tanks, and other weaponry, to foreign allies in an effort to better compete with China and refill the arsenals of friendly nations that have given military gear to Ukraine. The Pentagon recently created a task force of senior officials, known as Tiger Team, to examine long-standing inefficiencies in U.S. sales of billions of dollars of weaponry to foreign countries. According to a senior defense official, the Tiger Team will look at ways for Defense Department to streamline parts of the program with the aim of putting American weapons into partners' and allies' hands faster. The United States promised European allies who have provided military equipment to Ukraine that it would be able to replenish their stocks. But the U.S. defense industry is facing a backlog. Meanwhile, the European Union's foreign policy chief says member states are running low on weapons because of the scale of arms deliveries to Ukraine. Joe Biden's biggest promise in the 2020 election campaign was to restore America's global position with the interactive approach and expand cooperation with other countries. However, contrary to his pacifist election slogans, Joe Biden has appeared more as a broker of violence. Washington has increased military aid and arms sales to places like Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea, and under the pretext of confronting China, is reviving American military exercises with these countries. Japan is considering deploying 1,000 long-range cruise missiles to strengthen its counterattack capability against China. South Korea has also demanded an increase in military and weapons support from the United States, while, at the request of the United States, Seoul and Tokyo participated in the NATO summit for the first time. The AUKUS agreement with Australia in the form of building a nuclear submarine for Australia, along with increasing military cooperation under pretext of countering China's movements in maritime security, also forms another dimension of U.S. militarism. In addition to deepening internal differences, Joe Biden has actually intensified the atmosphere of tension on the world stage, which can be seen in the war in Ukraine, the crisis in Taiwan, and the American tensions in West Asia.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. Within the studio for today's discussion on how Arba'in procession will revive the Husseini movement all around the world, we have two guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Habib. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Brother and Habib.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and pleasure to be with you.
You're welcome, Brother. So during these days, somewhat sooner, so many of the people have started their journey towards Karbala on foot, what is known as Arba'in procession or Arba'in walk. Usually, it is believed to be between Najaf and Karbala, but for the Iraqis themselves, from far, far places and regions, they start maybe 1-2 months in advance. And now Arba'in procession, Arba'in walking has changed into a kind of, we can say, a ritual, spirit say, or a religious ritual, or rite.
Symbol.
Or symbol, yes, spirit say, symbol, for the Shias, especially all across the world, but I've seen so many footage and so many videos that even the non-Muslims, even our Sunni brethren, are taking part in the Arba'in procession. So today we want to talk about Arba'in procession. Is it at all Arba'in procession and Arba'in walk considered among the religious rituals or not? First, let's start with this big question, Sheikh.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, why not? When it comes to the word sha'air, which is the plural form of sha'ira, sha'ira means sign, symbol, or a kind of indication, something that guides us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why whatever in this world, in our lives, can guide us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that could be a kind of sha'airullah,
yes,
or a kind of symbols and signs that we should follow to get access to that spiritual aspect of our religious lives. I mean, ma'nawi, or spirituality. So that's why I think, of course, Arba'in nowadays, it guides the people, millions of the people from across the globe, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it attracts the attentions of the people, not only the Shia Muslims, but also, as you rightly mentioned, Sunni brothers and also non-Muslims, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
So this, of course, could be considered as sha'airullah.
And it's really strange because maybe so many people are not interested in taking part, for example, I don't know, during even the days of Taswan Ashura, okay, to this journey towards Karbala and Imam al-Husayn. But during all these recent years, I mean, it's not maybe more than 10 years that it is, we can say, enlivened, or spirit say, livening again among the people, among the Muslims. The people are interested in taking part, we can say, Arba'in procession and walk. What is the main reason, Brother Habib?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Going back just a little step further than going into your question, like how my brother put it out there, the meaning of sha'ira or sha'air, the symbols and the landmarks,
yes,
of the Islamic religion, of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of these examples is the visitation or visiting the graves of the A'imma alayhum as-salam. And one of the greatest graves to be visited is the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam. Various sayings, I always return people to the book Kamil al-Ziyarat,
yes,
complied by Ibn Qawlaway,
yes,
one of the great scholars in the early 4th or the early 4th century in the Hijri calendar. And he has specific chapters of the rewards, what the Imam alayhi salam had to say, how they used to emphasize on the visitation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, there's also the part of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, which we'll talk about later on. But at the end of the day, visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salam on any day is a ritual, is a symbol. It's something that the Shias do. It's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, wanted his servants to keep on doing. أتزور الحسين كل يوم زره بهذه الزيارة كل يوم. Do you visit Imam Hussein every day? Visit him with this. If I cannot go to his grave, go to your roof of the house and then say send your salams, because your salams reach the Imam alayhi wasalam. So this is an action that the Imam alayhi wasalam want their followers to keep on doing and following.
Sorry, now this is the question. When by far you can send your salams to an imam like Imam al-Hussein, why taking part and bearing all these hardships on your shoulders?
We're going to get to that point.
Yes.
Then you have the point of specific visitations. Mm-hmm. The visitation of Laylat Ashura, the greatest, me personally, I've seen as the greatest. The greatest rewards is available over there. The visitation on the day of Arafah, the visitation of 15th of Sha'ban, the visitation of Rajab, the visitation on the day of Layal al-Qadr, the Nights of Power. But yet, between the Shia nowadays, I don't want to go back. I want to say nowadays, it's been like 2 centuries, that the Shias have been focusing on the Arba'in walk. And to keep it into your knowledge, there's this fact that the scholars in the past 2 centuries, when the Hawza was available in Karbala, the scholars such as the Sayyid al-Tabatabai, his son the Sayyid al-Mujahid, al-Wahid al-Bahbahani, these guys are the ones that kind of started off this movement. And it went stronger and stronger, even during the time of the tyrant ruler of Saddam Hussein, which was Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
Where he tried to denounce it. And by trying to denounce it, he only made it a bigger fire. It's like when you have this spark, this fire, you try to blow it off, and instead of it turning off, it becomes bigger. That's what happened with the Arba'in walk.
Yes.
And not only that, but the people of the path, because there's the 2 paths.
Yes.
Tariq Ya Hussein, Tariq Al-Ulama.
Yes.
Right? The old path.
Yes.
Where people used to go hiding.
Used to
go there at night. They used to walk near the river so they could reach to Karbala walk.
That's right.
So the people over there are generous, have hospitality, right?
Yes.
And this really opened the door for what? For people to come from outside.
Yes.
Who do not have enough, who do not have sufficient means to travel like a normal person.
Yes.
Who just have to pay for the ticket for going and the ticket to go back, your food, your place of stay, any medical treatment you need, any hospitality you need, shelter, everything you find it during this time. Yes,
that's right.
And it continued and it becomes stronger and stronger over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It became stronger and stronger over the years. And there's this French guy. I like how you said that the Muslim or non-Muslims also go. Yes. There was this French person. He said that, I've seen in Hollywood movies, Iraq was like a desert. People are going to come and eat us. The movie The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
I said, I can't, people are giving out free food, for God's sake.
That's right.
So the hospitality really plays a role in my
thought. This is really fascinating. So many people, so many Iraqi people, and so many people all around the world, you know, save their money only for one day, for the Arba'in or 1 week, in order to donate for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and spend their money over there. This is really outstanding. I've heard so many stories from the Iraqi families, how they, for example, spend less during their life, during their routine, than during the year, in order to, you can say, spend and save the money for such days, for Arba'in Wakram processions, for the guests and the wayfarers to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Okay, Sheikh. Really outstanding. And it is not like a simple carnival, because we have so many celebrations, marathon walking celebration, you know, here and there, that the people are going. But this is really different. And the main goal behind Arba'in procession and walk something is something supreme and divine, isn't it?
Of course. Why not? You know, when it comes to the other kind of carnivals that we might have in the world, of course, there are some elements or some kind of key elements in this procession that makes it completely different and distinct from the other any kind of march or walking or carnival. One of the points is the spirituality that we have in this Arba'in procession or Arba'in march, we can say, because the people who gather here in Karbala on those roads and walking, they are looking after or looking forward to a kind of spiritual perfection.
Yes.
They want to perfect themselves spiritually. This is the thing that you cannot find in any other kind of the same, for example, carnivals or walking.
Yes.
That's why you see that millions of people serve across this road from Najaf to Karbala, from Baghdad to Karbala, from different kind of roads that is lead to Karbala. You see, millions of people are serving freely millions of other people for many days.
Yes.
So this is, it puts a very big question in our minds that, okay, why do these people do? It's clearly a kind of sacrifice. They sacrifice everything for the sake of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
And recently the governor of Karbala stated that this year, Karbala, it is a guess, may welcome more than 20 million people during 1 week. And this is really...
So how can you serve 20 million people in a small city like Karbala?
There are Arab countries. There's also the other pilgrimage, the other spiritual pilgrimage, which is to Mecca. Yeah. Also, it has its own, let's say, specialities.
Yes, and values.
But at the end of the day, the way that the Shias were able to, are able to conduct this marasim or this... event is really much better. You know, people, I know I've heard stories about people in Mecca, how they will stay like 2 days hungry.
Yes.
You don't see that in Karbala, alhamdulillah. Yes. You don't see people coming and giving hospitality to the people of Mecca. And excuse me, you don't see people that, for the visitors of Mecca getting hospitalized by the people of Mecca. And that's against the ruling of Quraysh. Even before Islam.
Yes.
Quraysh were very generous. When people would come over, they would greet them. They would give them what they would need. They would make sure the water was available. They would make sure that the food was available. They would make sure that anyone who needed treatment would get the treatment. It's Arab. You guys are Arab, supposedly. You know, we're not seeing this kinds of Arab, you know, culture available with you guys. And yet you're calling yourself one of the capitals the of the Islamic world.
Yes. And what is important is for the pilgrims to towards Karbala on this journey is the akhlaqi ethical part too. It might be very much crowded. There are so much hardships. You know, you have to take care of the rights of the people of Haqqun Nas, the other people on this way. On your way back, you might be very much tired, okay? Do not lose all the spiritual, you know,
people
gain.
People have different capacities.
I know.
That's a rule. There is this, you know, over this, like, let's call it a cloud.
Yes.
There's this cloud of us trying to be, ethical. Us trying to be good with good morals.
That's right.
It is available there. It is something like, all right, we'll try to take it. But sometimes it gets out of hand, you know. You're cranky, you're tired, you're traveling. And that's normal. I'm not trying to bash anyone. I'm not trying to defend anyone. But at the end of the day, it's normal.
That's
everywhere you go where it's crowded, that's normal.
Especially about the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, even you are suggested to bear the hardships. I mean, more than any other imams. For example, because all the afflictions that the imam, we can say, tolerated on that time, you are supposed to bear the hardships on this way too. And these hardships on this way is a purification, is a purifier for your soul, for your journey. And the journey itself, I mean, walking from region A to region B, if you look at all the divine mystical lessons that we took during the history, in all religions, there has always been a journey from one place to another. And during this journey, there are some stations, okay? And during these stations, we can say, gradually you are going to be spiritually grown up. And this is, I think, the best lesson that from the Irfani perspective, we can take from, we can say, the Arba'in procession and the Arba'in walk. Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Shaykh Rouhani, for your nice elaboration regarding on Arba'in procession and Arba'in walk. It was very kind of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Habib. And thank you very much, dear listeners. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the program, Viewpoints on Arba'in Procession, and especially those people who participate in Arba'in Procession, Arba'in Walk. If you're listening to us, do not forget us in your du'as, in your supplications, and your journey towards Karbala and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammad wa ala Muhammad ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد
Hussein, you live forever in our hearts and in our minds
Hussein, you live forever I swear to Allah, you have shown us so much courage through the pain. You sacrificed your family and were killed thirsty for Hussein.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. For the steadfast, a misfortune is only one, while it is twofold for the impatient.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed were by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this, that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience, you never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves its purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artists to the Asian market. Works from six Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we started this gallery, we had the big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from six Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasashamlu, he just wants to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience he can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
An Iranian movie wins the grand prize for the best film in this year's Moscow International Film Festival. In its international debut, No Prior Appointment won the Best Film and the Best Actress awards. The movie is a product of Farabi Cinema Foundation and directed by Behruz Shoaibi in Iran in 2021. It is the story of a girl named Yasaman who returns to Iran from Germany after her father's death. A short stay in her father's hometown and meeting those who know him leads her to a new understanding of humans and the concept of death. The 44th edition of the Moscow International Film Festival was held this year from September 4 to 11. Animals, no matter pets or wild, are more vulnerable to drowning or dying in resulting floods and mudslides. A veterinarian school in Pakistan is offering free treatment for animals injured in the recent devastating floods. The veterinary surgery department of Sindh Agriculture University has set up a makeshift animal hospital as flooding hit humans and animals alike in the surrounding area. Volunteers have been providing anything from surgery to medicine and even ultrasounds to the animals free of cost. People from flood-affected areas can be seen bringing their farm animals such as goats, donkeys, buffaloes, and cows into the center. The worst floods in history have killed an estimated 800,000 farm animals. But there were many heartwarming videos trolling on social media showing people come to rescue animals being stuck hopelessly.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones, which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture. These days, computer technology is impacting every aspect of our life, providing a greater ability to place things, events, and people within context. An Iraqi museum has started using the technology and virtual reality headsets to make exhibits interactive and to bring scenes back to life. Visitors can explore heritage sites destroyed by terrorist groups. Now using thousands of photographs, a group of local engineers have given a virtual rebirth to five historic sites in Mosul and abroad Nineveh province. That includes a mosque and its leaning minaret. But this museum brings sites back to life for the people who live in Mosul. Although large parts of the old city remain oceans of debris, authorities are trying to restore historic sites, mosques and churches in Mosul. A private museum along the Tigris River, which opened in mid-June, saw more than 4,000 visitors in its first month. The floating cinema of unknown waters is back in the Italian city of Venice and spectators are getting buoyant to reach the annual Open Sea Film Festival. On board rowing boats, motorboats, gondolas and whatever capable of floating, spectators sail to the shallows behind the Giudecca Island for this one-of-a-kind cinematic experience. The audience can watch the program from their own boat or a barge with chairs for those without floating transportation. The event consists of a series of screenings, performances and presentations on a floating platform and is held for 12 nights in the Venetian Lagoon.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. we present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum, welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about the culture of Arba'in, the 40th day of Imam al-Husayn's martyrdom. Today, Sunday, is the 4th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 34.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
And mention when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they prostrated, except for Iblis. He refused and was arrogant and became of the disbelievers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
There is no doubt that prostration with the purpose of worshipping is deserved by no one but Allah alone. Therefore, it is beyond doubt that the infallible beings like the angels prostrated themselves for Allah. But it was for the creation of such a splendid being, Adam, that they obeyed him by prostrating. Or if they prostrated for Adam, their prostration was a kind of obeisance, not an act of worshipping. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace be upon him, said, The angel's prostration was for the adoration of worshipping Allah on one side, and for the obeisance and respect of Adam on the other side, because we, Ahlul Bayt, were in his seed.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
This is Arba'in, let's go to the Arba'in. This is Arba'in, let's go do the Arba'in of Imam Hussein, let's perform the Arba'in.
Arba'in walk, a symbol of peace and humanity. Arba'in is an Arabic word and it means the 40th. In Shia culture, this word refers to the 40th day of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in Karbala on the 10th day of Muharram, the first month in the Hijri lunar calendar, which is known as the day of Ashura. And according to historical accounts, on the 40th day after his martyrdom, the Survivors of Ashura event, namely the children, wives, and other relatives of the martyrs of Ashura, returned to Karbala and made pilgrimage to the tombs of Imam al-Hussein and other martyrs of Karbala. The pilgrimage of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam continued on Arba'een day in the following years. Shia imams encouraged their followers to this pilgrimage. Their words persuaded Shia Muslims to go to Karbala on Arba'een day to make a pilgrimage to the shrine of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. The tradition of Arba'een pilgrimage has continued to this day.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain social, political, and cultural aspects of holding the Arba'een march and Arba'een walk in Iraq. In this regard, it must be asserted that the phenomenon of Arba'een has got various aspects. So one of them is the political aspect. On Arba'een, not only Shias, but also many Sunni brethren and many non-Muslim brethren, non-Muslim people, go to Karbala on foot. And nowhere else in the world can you find such a kind of religious integrity based on Shi'i beliefs to be in practice. And in this connection, we find that none of the Salafi groups or none of those, non-Muslim and chiefly secular groups and trends would have been able to come up with such kind of influence worldwide. Yet you find that such a kind of demonstration, such a kind of peaceful demonstration with much sacrifice that local people of Iraq show, all of them indicated that another group or another culture is going to be shaped in the whole world based on the notions and indications of remembrance of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the day of Arba'een. At the same time, it shows that the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam cannot be said to belong to the remote past in the early, Islamic community or in the early Islamic era. Rather, we find that the more we go ahead and the more time is spent, the memory of Ashura and the memory of Arba'een gets reinforced, not by governments, but by masses, by common people.
You are with IRIB English Radio in this program, today's special. We're speaking about Arba'een Walk and its purpose. The Arba'een Walk creates a competitive advantage. The existence of a large number of religious and motivated people in defending religion and its values and symbols is a unique source of power that cannot be imitated in any other way, and its results can be used for the progress of interests and policies of the Islamic world. The Arba'een Walk is a sign of unrivaled advantage and an expression of unlimited potential power among the Shia, which has created the ability to defend and counter any danger.
Oh.
this part, we have a short look at political message of Arbaeen Walk. First, unity of Islamic Ummah, an Islamic community. The most important message of the largest religious rally in the world is the unity of the Islamic Ummah in the light of love and devotion to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Because all Islamic denominations have the love of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and therefore a great capacity like the pilgrimage of Arbaeen could be at the core of the unity of the Islamic Ummah. Second, fighting arrogance and love of freedom. Studying the slogans of Arbaeen Walkings shows freedom, dignity, their spirit in fighting arrogance and their hatred of oppression. In fact, similar to the uprising and the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, which was for freedom and the rejection of tyranny, this walk is also to protect this uprising and movement.
We witness the largest gathering of human beings on the face of the planet in the land of Karbala. Millions of people from all walks and backgrounds, even from multiple sects and religions, have gathered in one land for one cause, and that is to honor the legacy of Al-Imam Abi Abdullah Al-Hussein Salawatullahi Alayhi. Allahumma salli ala. However, we see that the media globally has not done justice to this event, because they know very well that if they put the spotlight on this ziyara, on the Arbaeen Walk, this will transform millions of people around the world and attract them to the light of our beloved Imam. Despite the challenges, despite the lack of proper infrastructure, despite the security situation, we still find millions and millions of people taking this risk and going to the land of Karbala to honor the legacy of their Imam. This is the Ziyara of Arbaeen. Safwan al-Jamal, one of the companions of the sixth Imam. You'll find that many of Imam Hussein's Ziyaras are narrated by who? Safwan. You know why? Safwan, what was his profession? What job did he have? He was Jamal. Jamal in Arabic comes from the word Jamal. And Jamal means what? Camel. Jamal basically owned camels and he would rent them. He was like a taxi person. He'd rent you his camels if you wanted to travel from Medina to go to Iraq. So Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in a number of trips, he would go with Safwan. And he would rent the camels from him. So Safwan had the honor of accompanying Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in many of the trips to ziyarah. That's why you find many of the ziyarahs of Imam Hussein are narrated by Safwan. Because he would go with the Imam to Karbala, to Najaf, to Kufa, to visit these holy places. Safwan narrates this hadith. He says, Mawlai, my master, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, told me on the 40th, you visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when the sun rises high in the sky close to Dhuhr. So we have this hadith from Safwan.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. And we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. Please keep us in your prayers and fi aman Allah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati ممات محمد وآل محمد
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.